Like, seriously, if you're married, you know marriage is a really, really big deal. It's a really tough deal. It's like the world is stacked against you, and there's just not a lot of resources out there. If you're a reader, you can probably find some books. If you know a good marriage counselor and you got the money, great. Do that. It's awesome. But if you were to say, how do I build my marriage? Where do I go? It's going to be crickets for the most part, yep. Except with Couples Camp. Welcome to The Aggressive Life. We're interrupting business as usual. Dirt, we have to stop saying that. You keep putting this in the script, interrupting business as usual. Today's a unique one. That we say that so much.
It's always unique, isn't it?
Yeah, and we're interrupting business as usual because we don't have a lot of business as usual. So
right.
Just sort of strike that from the standard opening
monologue.
You'll
never hear it again.
All right. Good. I get typecast as a man guy a lot. Maybe that's because I'm a man. Maybe that's because I've written some books on manhood. So I understand that. But the word aggressive is not a masculine word. It's a word that more men should be. It's not a masculine word. The Aggressive Life is not a man podcast. So I think it relates to men just because I am a man. And here's another thing. Maybe I get identified as a man guru because I started Man Camp and I'm loving Man Camp. I understand that. But believe it or not, when I take a look at my camping schedule, the camping trip I look most forward to every year is Couples Camp. That's right, Couples Camp. When I get to camp with my wife in a spiritual environment, a relational environment, or an environment of fun where we get to connect with each other and see God do something fresh in our marriage and in other people's marriage. I love it. I love it. So much so, Dirt and I wanted to give a podcast here to Couples Camp. Dirt?
That's right. Couples Camp.
Yeah. So what are we going to do here? This is fun. This was your ideas. So much of The Aggressive Life is Dirt, and this is one of those. So what's your vision?
Yeah. So here's what's happening is the signups for Couples Camp are closing very soon, and Couples Camp is April 26th through 28th. So we wanted as many people as possible to cross over the line, get some context for what Couples Camp is, because it's amazing, and we want you to be there. So we got some questions from your followers on Instagram about Couples Camp. We've talked a lot about Man Camp, but not a lot about Couples Camp. They're similar, but different. I'm just going to toss them to you and let you tell us about it.
And why would somebody do this? I'll tell you why they would do it. Because they're married and there's nothing else out there for them. Like, seriously, if you're married, you know marriage is a really, really big deal. It's a really tough deal. It's like the world is stacked against you, and there's just not a lot of resources out there. If you're a reader, you can probably find some books. If you know a good marriage counselor and you got the money, great, do that. It's awesome. But if you were to say, how do I build my marriage? Where do I go? It's going to be crickets for the most part, except with Couples Camp. So I'm just like, man, if you want to do something for your marriage, you got to do something because this world will crush your marriage. Yep. It is crushing marriages. The statistics are very, very clear. You're going to have to find some place, a place of respite. You're going to have to find some people who are mighty warriors who come beside you to do battle with whatever it is that makes marriages stale and difficult and boring and unfruitful. That's what we're doing at Couples Camp.
I love it. First question, how is Couples Camp different from Man Camp? I loved Man Camp, but I don't know if my wife would like a similar experience.
Okay, let's think here. In what ways are they different? Well, for starters, this Couples Camp, we're going to try a new thing of car camping. We've never done that before. So you will not, unless you want to, you will not need to hike a mile in all of your gear.
That's big.
Yeah, we're making this easy because we're majoring on the couples part, not the camp part.
Okay.
There still is camping, but we want to enable couples to get there. And so for some people, maybe it's just easier, the thought of camping, if I can bring 100 or 500 pounds of stuff in my car. Maybe it's easier for some people if they could actually think, maybe I'll sleep in my minivan. Fine, I don't care where you sleep. Well, there'll be tents for sure. If you want to put your tent up near your car, great, great, great. But that's one big change that we're making. There's also not the level of bluster that there is at man camp. And I mean that sort of affectionately, bluster. Like, there's no arm wrestling competition at couples camp. There's not, although some of the wives would beat their husbands if there was. There's no boisterous competitions like that. It's a bit more chill, but it's also very energizing. So the worship tent, the worship is as inspiring. There's not quite as much beer. There's actually wine if you want to do wine. Actually, we started doing non-alcoholic wine, and surprise, surprise, it was like an equal part or more people wanted non-alcoholic wine than wine. So it's a different vibe, and you do it with your spouse. Everything is with your spouse.
Awesome. So what am I going to get at the weekend? You've given us some of that. We're going to get worship. We're going to get teaching. What else?
Well, one of the things you're going to get is you're going to get with a group of people on a campfire who are all pro-marriage and who are all wrestling with similar things or have wrestled with that thing and have some wins that they could maybe help you out with. I think that's part of the thing, is how often are we talking about our marriages with other married people? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times with our girlfriends or with our boyfriends, and we talk about a struggle in our marriage, you know, and I'll just speak for guys, a lot of guys will immediately revert to, well, screw her. Screw her. Forget her. You can find better than her. Whatever. That's happened before in male conversations. You're not going to get that here. This is a safe place. You're instead going to find people who are for your marriage and for the person you're married, even when they're a bit of a turd. It's one of the unique things you're going to find. You're also going to find activities, like things to do. One of the things that's a tension about date nights, when someone's having a hard marriage, Dirt, I actually do not recommend going out for a date night. A date night one-on-one for people who are married who are in a bad place, all it does is puts them in a new ring to fight each other. Now we're going to go to the restaurant and fight each other.
Okay.
It's not safe. You should be double dating, triple dating, be with other couples in that season. And this is one of the things where you got other people around you and you're doing something. You'll always be able to do, you're not, well, there is one part of couples camp after all the work is done where you'll be set up to have a really great conversation. It's what we call wine time, which is not when you whine to your spouse, but you have some wine if you'd like to out in the woods and just talking through things you've encountered for 36 hours, 48 hours, because you do things together. You're not just sitting there looking at each other. You'll be worshiping together. You'll be cooking with other couples around a campfire. You'll be talking. You'll be laughing. You'll be doing maybe a game. You'll be experiencing things together. And a lot of people realize, oh, I forgot what it was like that I actually like this person. We just haven't been doing a lot together. This has rekindled my joy in this person.
Great. What is the bare minimum gear that I need to make it through the weekend?
A sleeping bag and a tent. You probably need a pad under your sleeping bag, but that's it.
If you sleep in your van, not even a tent.
Right. If you sleep in your van, fine. Don't even need a tent. And you also find when you sign up for a couples camp, you'll be placed with a trip captain. They will get with your group, and there's people probably in your group who will loan you extra stuff. Like if you're in my group, which, by the way, you can't be. I've already got a full group. I'm honored you want to be with me, but I'm all full up with the folks I'm with. But there's a lot of people like me who have a lot of extra gear, and you'll be interested to find that people have extra stuff that you wouldn't even have to buy. So there's not a lot you need at all. In fact, if it rains and you don't have a raincoat, bring a trash bag, put it on you. You'll be fine.
Perfect. I'm engaged. Can I go, or do I have to wait till I'm actually married?
Sorry, you have to wait till you're married. Although that would kind of be fun to have engaged couples and then marry them there the first night.
Ooh.
That'd be very fascinating.
Wow, that would be fun.
Yeah, nothing says cult like group marriage.
We'll get the Kool-Aid ready.
Yeah.
Okay, how do I get my husband to sign up?
This is an interesting one. But normally, at least stereotypically, the women are the hesitant ones. Just as many guys don't like camping as much as others. First thing I would say is tell him, maybe he's afraid of camping or doesn't like to camp. Tell him, honey, it's going to be easier this time for all the reasons I talked about with car camping and hauling and gear. I think the other thing to tell him, and here's a peek inside of male psyches, and women are probably the same too, but I don't know. I'm not a woman. But men, we are way more insecure than we give ourselves credit for. And one of the ways that shows up is we don't like to do new things. Because if we do a new thing, we're a greenhorn and we're afraid we're going to look stupid and people aren't going to like us. And we're going to appear weak. Those are not things that men like. So if your husband is on that track, which of course he won't tell you that's the reason, but that may be it, offering affirming words of, hey, it doesn't matter what happens, you and I will have fun. Telling him it will be fine, it'll be fine. Telling him even something like this, I promise the whole weekend not to be mad at you. There is that could be a good promise. There's some married couples like, man, I don't need to go over and you taking your elbow and digging it into my side. We talked about that at the Furryverse session. Ensure him that he's going to be safe, and you don't have an agenda going in there to change him. You just want to experience something with him. I think anything like that disarms and encourages him would be great.
Yeah, that's awesome. If you're talking to a husband for a wife who didn't want to go, is it similar, or would you give different advice?
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same, but I think that women are more reticent to be outside generally. So I would just say to her, honey, I got you. It's fine. I got you. I would even say to her, honey, if we get through the first night, and it sucks and you're uncomfortable, we'll just leave. You can do that. There's no chain link fence. If it's not working for you after a night and it's horrible, leave. You know, it's going to work for you. I think you're going to have a really great time, but you're not signing up for a weekend of prison. If something doesn't grab you the right way, your car's right there, get and leave.
All right, great. I signed up. My wife will be 30 weeks pregnant when camp happens. Is this an aggressive move or a stupid move?
I like the move. I like it a lot. I think it's a great. We actually will have some medics there. I've never delivered a baby. I like to deliver a baby. No, I think it's a good aggressive move. No. Yeah, of course. And look. This is my thing about camping. Okay, it's a big deal. Okay, hear me. For all of anthropological history, every single man and woman in every corner of the globe in every time period has camped outside and pooped in the woods. And you don't even have to poop in the woods because we have outhouses. And all those folks also bore children in the woods and on the ground. Like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of them. Now, I'm not saying you should do that. I'm pro-hospital. I'm pro-getting to the hospital, which you can do within 40 minutes if you break your water. But I'm saying you're in no danger being outside if you're 8-9 months pregnant. Zero danger. In fact, as my most recent grandchild, even when your water breaks, you still got 36 hours. As I learned, being in the freaking waiting room for 36 hours, it still pisses me off, actually. It ticks me off. I should have known better. Why did I go in the waiting room and sit in there forever? So no, it's great. Yeah, if your wife can sleep on her side with a nice mattress, yeah, great. Do it.
What do you think the secret sauce for couples camp is?
Yeah, the secret sauce is it's doing something together that's different. Our marriages are in a rut because we are in a rut. We do the same thing every day. We get up at the same time, have the same responsibilities during the day, go to work and do the same thing, us and our spouse, dual income, come home, we have the same kind of meal, we do the same thing from 7 to 10 o'clock, whatever it is, we have the same conversations, we have the same thing the weekend, if our kids are in soccer, we have the same thing. It's Groundhog Day for every marriage, and marriages don't thrive with monotony. There's something to routine. Routine is fine. You know, I'm going to have family dinner every night, or at least every night that the kids aren't at soccer practice, something like that. Okay, that's fun. Routine. But there's a fine line between routine and monotony. And most of us in our marriage patterns and our communication patterns, we need something to break us out of the mold and do something new. And that's what Couples Camp does. It bursts you into a wide open field. You're doing something you normally don't do. Well, I don't camp. Exactly. That's exactly why you need a jolt to your marriage. You need to lean into one another. Well, I've never really been in a tent with 1,500 people like singing worship songs outside when I haven't taken a shower. Exactly. Right. Well, you know, I've never really talked about our marriage with other couple. I know, exactly. Right. That's the problem. That's why we have a problem. If you want something different, you have to do something different. And that's what Couples Camp, it's different. It's a stimulating environment that will grow new muscles and new conversation points for your marriage.
Great. How's Couples Camp had an impact on your own marriage?
Well, Lib and I would say two things. One is, as far as ministry is concerned, it's one of the things that Lib and I can do together. So she doesn't have a stage role at my day job at Crossroads. She's not in meetings during the work week. You know, we have separate lives in that way. But with Couples Camp, we do that together. She normally has something she does on stage, something she says, or she's around. We're with each other. People are talking to us. We're in the pre-setup group. So that's one thing. We're doing something ministry together. The second thing is there's a portion at Couples Camp where you'll have the only time where you'll really be alone is in self-guided reflection that will help you do that. I'll give you a little booklet, and everyone does it individually. And it's been really amazing how the things that have come to me or Lib in that reflection time, ways that we've heard from God, how that perfectly played into wine time. A conversation we would have 7 hours later that was revolutionary to our marriage and has gotten us unstuck on some things where I couldn't see us getting unstuck. We've gotten unstuck through that dynamic at Couples Camp more than once. It's really beautiful.
Great. One last question. Brian, it seems like you're always talking about camps. Why camps? Why are camps important to you?
Yeah, I know that's confusing for a lot of folks. Like, what is the big deal? What's your fixation on camps? You're going to, you're just some outdoorsy guy. Are you like trying to flex your masculine muscles? No, it's not. It's really not that at all. In fact, my history is I have not been outdoorsy. I mean, I was the guy who used to crack the jokes about camping to me as being at Holiday Inn without a Wi-Fi. I mean, that was my old line, right? That's my history. I just haven't, I came to it later in life, and I did because I tapped into something primal inside of myself, because all of human history have done this, all of them. And I think we lose something when we fall out of the primal rhythms that humanity has been in. When you're disconnected from nature, which you are every time you're in your bed, which you are every time you're on Wi-Fi, which you are every time you watch TV, which you are every time you sit at your dining room table, which you are disconnected from nature every time you're at work at your cubicle, which you are disconnected from nature every single time you're at the workout facility, which you are disconnected from nature every single time you're in your car listening to Spotify, which you are I could go on and on. Like, nature. Nature's a big deal. God has created nature. It's the one place where his fingertips are that are untainted by human fingertips. Hmm. It's the place where we see his raw creation. We can sense and hear things in creation we can't any place else. And therefore, you got to get out in it, and why not sleep in it? And I've experienced in my own life more breakthroughs from being in a different rhythm, which is something I normally wouldn't choose, which is camping, than I have anything else. And I feel like this is sort of our unique contribution to what God wants in our world. There's a lot of people out there who do amazing things, who have amazing worship bands, who have amazing best-selling books and do all this stuff, who have amazing nonprofits they've started about this, that, who do all, and those are all awesome. And I wish I had the success of some of those other people doing those things. But the truth is those things, they're not in the sweet spot of what God wants me to do. But the thing he wants me to do is one thing that's only in class, and that is get people outside. Get people in a primal state of mind to connect with others and connect with me. That's what we do. And nobody else is doing that. Nobody else is doing it. Retreat centers are great. Go to a retreat center. I love it. I love it. Good. But this thing that we're doing of getting people connected with God in nature, in a primal, raw environment, letting our hair down, having fun, having a little bit of adversity and diversity too, that's virtually nowhere in the kingdom on the scale that we're talking about. And it's necessary, and we're seeing changed lives again and again in multiple countries now, every state in the union. That's what we do. That's what God's asked us to do. And so we're doing it, and we're inviting you into it.
Great.
Flying K Ranch. Today's episode is brought to you by them because I believe they're producing some of the most mouth-watering, healthy burgers, steaks, roasts I've ever had. They're in Findlay, Ohio. Flying K raises their beef with no hormones or antibiotics, so you know you're getting the most natural product. It's a family business, partnering with state and national certification boards to ensure both cattle and customers are happy. You can find out more, place your orders at flyingkranchangus.com. That's flyingkranchangus.com. I'm liking it a lot. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. That's why for the last 2 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions, at home, on a hunting trip, camping off my motorcycle, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to get moving. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. I like to have it in the morning. I have a 12 ounce of water, so right off the bat, I'm helping my hydration every single morning. This is the one product, if I had to recommend one, I'd recommend this one to elevate your health. It's AG1, and that's why I partnered with them for 2 years. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/aggressivelife. That's drinkag1.com/aggressivelife. Get yourself some. Well, let's give you a little sampling of Couples Camp. Instead of talking about it, let's actually listen to something that was said at Couples Camp. This is the kind of stuff that you may hear in the tent, which is just one of the things, one of the many environments at Couples Camp. So we're going to listen to that, and then hopefully you're inspired to help your marriage and have a great time with your spouse. Signups are closing quick, March 24th. You only got a couple more days. They close on March 24th. So come spend the weekend with us, April 26th to 28th, right near Neville, Ohio, on what is now about 700-800 acres of land, something like that. Beautiful land, pristine land. The only sign of civilization you're going to see is a car that's parked where somebody hauled in all their gear. Like, that's it. It's going to be really, really good. If you want more info and to sign up, you can go to couplescamp.us, couplescamp.us. Robbie, thanks for also doing my personal request to do that song about the faithfulness of God. So I'm going to finish off our time here today talking about the faithfulness of God. You know, this I haven't been in this land since I hunted on it months ago during deer season. And man, it got green early and fast.
It's a metaphor that when you go through winter, everything is crusty, everything's cold, there's no life. But man, when spring pops, it pops. And I know there's a good number of us who came into this in winter. You were in winter. Things were frigid between you and your spouse. Things were difficult. There wasn't a lot of signs of life. You might have painted some green on yourself in public so people thought you were alive. But internally, it was winter. Things were shut down. And there's probably still some in here that are in a bit of a frigid state, but I think a lot of us have come into spring and green buds are popping. Revelation 21:5 says, "Behold, I make everything new." Does anybody just want to say you feel some new things happening in your life, in your marriage? I just love, yeah, it's real. It is real. Look what you've done. Look what you've done. Seriously. First of all, you weren't afraid by the prospect of rain. 15% of everybody canceled. You all showed up. You showed up. You walked in. It's 15%, right? 15%. You showed up. You walked in. You worked. You bore your stuff around a campfire. You sat outside cold. I've been reading and listening to a lot of things about just being outside has restorative effects. Part of, I think, the power of camps isn't so much the program or the being in a tent, but it's being outside. It has restorative effects on us. Anxiety gets lifted. Fear gets lifted. Stress gets lifted. Depression gets lifted when you're outside. I was hearing a guy I listened to a lot said he had a psychologist as someone's going to deep depression. And psychologist said, "Where do you live?" He told him where he lives. "Okay, here's what you can do. Get to the ocean every day for 2 weeks." And he did, and like it lifted off his son. Like boom, it was gone. We're outside where God wants us because it's outside where spring takes place. It's outside where new things come to life, not inside of cubicles. And you guys have done just great. Now, if you've got any signs of life that are now popping up to you, we want to keep them going. We want to keep the buds happening. We want to keep new things flowering. We want to keep new fruit. And I'm going to share you one of the stories out of the Bible that I think is the best marriage story. And it comes to the book of Genesis chapter 24. The backdrop of this is God creates a nation that's going to be his chosen people. And this nation, as he weds this nation, it's going to be a model for how he's going to wed himself to all different types of people groups. And he has Abraham, who has a son, crazy story, has a son in their old age. That's a whole nother sermon. And now the son, it's time for him to get married because the promise of a nation and many descendants rests on this guy having a wife and them being fruitful and multiplying and having a healthy marriage. So Abraham sends an employee of his, a servant, his right-hand man, out to find a wife for him. He finds this woman who, she looks pretty good. It says that in Genesis 24, looks pretty good. For you to be married to who you're married to right now, initially anyway, they look pretty good to you. A level of physical chemistry is important. We're attracted to something in somebody enough so that we want, "Oh, I want to ask you out on a date. I want to marry you." There's always some level of some physical chemistry at first. Now, over time, that becomes less and less important, less and less likely, less likely because we get age, but also less and less important. You start to realize it's not the looks that makes a great marriage. It's the heart that makes a great marriage. But initially, it's really important. So the servant sees Rebecca, who's a really good-looking woman, catches her eye. She's pulling up water, and he decides to approach her. And let's read what it says. "Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts." So he's got 10 camels. He's going to find this woman, 10 camels. He sees this woman, and here's what it says. "Then the servant ran to meet her and said, 'Please give me a little water to drink from your jar.'" They're at the well. She's getting water out of the well. And she said, "Well, drink, my lord." And he quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar in the trough, ran again to the well to draw water, and she drew for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. 10 camels, troughs of water, well down below, you know, like well, deep well, got a drop in the well, trough. She gets up, She lowers it down in the well. She pulls up. She runs over to see, runs, puts it in the trough for the camels, comes back, picks it up. She's doing this how many times? She's got 10 camels. Google, because I Googled it this morning. Google says a camel could drink 30 gallons of water in a setting. 30 gallons. 300 gallons of water. Boom. Running the whole time. Running the whole time. This is a sign. A sign that she has great cardio. That's what the sign of it is. Verse 22. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring, weighing about a half shekel, two bracelets. He's ready to pull it out, give her, basically pay the dowry. And in verse 26 says, the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord and said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness to my master. Now, he notices her beauty, but what seals the deal is her faithfulness. Her faithfulness. I'll tell you what, the word faithfulness is not a word that is used, let alone acted on very, very much in our culture today. What are vows? Vows are I got a bad microphone. I'm going to get another one up here. Whoever's back in the sound booth, and let me get another one here. I am on mic one. Thank you. A vow is when we make a commitment to be faithful. Faithful. Like, who is faithful anymore in our culture? Employees aren't faithful to their employers. We change jobs over and over and over. Employers aren't faithful to employees. Just try to squeeze for all we can get. Squeeze, 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 squeeze. We don't want to make vows of faithfulness. We keep getting married later and later and later and later because we're afraid of making a vow. We're afraid of making a commitment. It's tough to get anybody to make a commitment to couples camp. Probably if we would say, hey, walk-ups are welcome, we'd probably get a lot more people because people don't want to commit. They don't want to actually put money on the line. They don't want to sign on the dotted line. We want to keep all of our options open. Faithfulness. My day job, Pastor Crossroads Church, it wasn't too long moving to Cincinnati when I was the longest running senior pastor in the entire city. And I was like 36 years old at my post for 6 years. I counted up one day, I'm like, man, dag, crazy. Faithfulness is an incredibly short supply. Will you be faithful to your husband? Will you be faithful to your wife? This isn't about the past. This is about what happened in the past. Like right now, will you be faithful? We live in an age where it seems like everybody's deconstructing their faith. Some of it justifiable. We're deconstructing our faith because we've been told a bunch of things are in the Bible and they're necessary for your faith. Like it's necessary if you believe in a 24-hour literal creation. It's necessary if you believe that the earth is only 6,000 years old. If you believe that, great, awesome, glad you believe that. Just don't tell your children that that's the central story in the Bible. It's not the central story in the Bible. And when we tell somebody that if you can't believe that, then you can't believe Jesus rose from the dead, as soon as somebody goes through a science class at a university, they go, oh, I can't believe anything in the Bible. And they deconstruct their faith. They tear it all down. Just be careful. If you believe that, don't teach your children that is central to the faith. If it was central to the faith, Jesus would have talked about it. He'd never talk about it. It's not central to the faith. Some of the times we're deconstructing because there's abuse of church leadership, and that's maybe to be understandable. But hear me really, really clearly. Christianity hasn't all of a sudden become nonsensical. It's that we become unfaithful. Christianity is all of a sudden nonsensical. The greats of the faith, people who have PhDs, people who are archaeologists, people who are scientists, C.S. Lewis's of the world, of the history. There's a lot of smart people. Whoever you know who is deconstructed is not smarter than people who are still faithful. It's not about Christianity being nonsensical. It's about us being unfaithful. When you get baptized, you're not saying, oh, I have a spiritual moment and I just want to cement it right now. I just want to put a cherry on top of a nice weekend experience. You're getting baptized because you're saying to God, I'm going to be faithful to death do I die. That's why I'm getting baptized. It's not about you. It's not about you and your spiritual experience. It's about you making a vow to God, just as the greats for thousands of years have millions and millions of people who are dying for their faith right now because they're a Christian in a place like Egypt, dying for their faith, but they're dying because they said, I made a vow and I am going to go to the other side faithful. It's people who are getting baptized in Russia, in rivers as we speak right now, that come under oppression for their faith. They're faithful. They're faithful. It's not about the validity of the Bible. And it's just, I know I made a commitment and God's been faithful to me. Will you be faithful to God? Will you be faithful to your spouse? Will you be willing to recommit to it right now? Liv and I have been through many, 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 many difficult, hard, really, really hard times. We've both been through difficult times that other people would have chosen. That's it. Good enough for me. I'm getting divorced. We've been through a lot of stuff. We're not going to talk about that we've dealt with experience. We've been through a lot of awful, difficult things in 35 years. And the only reason why we have a joyful marriage right now is when things were shitty, we were faithful. Even if we hadn't been faithful in some area, whatever, we were going, no, I'm gonna stay at it. I'm gonna stay being faithful. And why is this? It's not self-help, pick myself up by my bootstraps. I'm gonna be a person of my word. It's because God's faithful to me. It's because God's faithful to you. As I said yesterday, God could have divorced me a long time ago. Been way unfaithful to God. God should be in counseling over his relationship with me for the end of eternity, you know, because he is a victim of my stupid choices, God is, and all of his stuff. And, you know, and I still have a beating heart, and I still have friends, and I still have food, and I still have people who love me, and I still have a God who speaks to me now and then. He's faithful. When we make a wedding vow, we're committing, this point on, I'm being faithful. I didn't fully understand this when Lib and I got married. I'm not gonna tell the whole story, but I basically just made up my vows on the moment. I didn't do my homework, I didn't prepare vows, and so I just winged it, and they were really awful vows. And so we've done this a number of times, and every time we do this at couples camp, it's significant for us because we're looking back at each other, and we're not saying the vows from last couples camp or the vows, however lame my vows were in 1988, we're not saying those weren't good, we're not living by those. We're just going, hey, I just want to look at you, and I want to renew it. I want to tell you again, I'm going to be faithful. I am endeavoring to be faithful going forward. Wedding vows are like baptisms. Baptism is your invisible wedding ring when you make a vow in front of people that I'm going to be faithful for God, to God for the rest of my life. And marriage, and the reason why fewer and fewer people getting married and it goes longer and longer out is because we have a generation of people that we just don't want to be committed. We don't want to be faithful. We want to keep our options open. People who are faithful don't keep their options open. They decide, this is where I'm going, and I just go. And I'm faithful. So we're going to do that right now. We're going to have a time to give vows. I wish I had someday I've got to work on a nice, soft, pithy little close for couples camp. I don't have one. That's the end of my talk. That's it. Got to work on that one. Put that in the to-do list. Have a nice, feel-good close to the last talk at couples camp. All right, Lib, come on up here, please. Come on up, sweetie. We're going to exchange our vows now. Why don't you stand and turn towards your spouse right now?
Thanks for joining us on this journey toward aggressive living. Find more resources, articles, past episodes, and live events over at briantome.com. My new books, a repackaged edition of The 5 Marks of a Man, and a brand new 5 Marks of a Man tactical guide are open right now on Amazon. If you haven't yet, leave this podcast a rating and review. It really helps get the show in front of new listeners. And if you want to connect, find me on Instagram at Brian Tome. The Aggressive Life is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.